it's where we have to start. All of this begins to till the ground of your folks' hearts, okay? Exposing their fears and preferences and complacency or any fear of man issues, it creates a lot of opportunity to address the thing behind the thing in everyone's heart when it comes to really living on mission. So this is so key. You know, it's almost hard to believe that the church is even having this discussion about whether or not we'll have the mission, which is discipleship, at the center of our focus and efforts and fund it and all of that. You can absolutely do this with confidence that missional living, making disciples as a lifestyle, is God's will for his people.
Welcome to the Life Scope Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. This is the stuff that your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby, here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Hey, Heath. Good to see you, buddy.
You too, man. You ready for Super Bowl's coming up here?
Oh, man.
Do you watch, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you're...
I'm almost a never miss.
Okay.
And I used to be way more about the commercials than the games, but as I've grown in my NFL... muscleness or strength, sure, or whatever knowledge. Yeah. No, I dig it. I dig the whole social experiment of the whole thing. It really,
yeah.
I have to say that's still more about that. It's more about the fact that everybody cares about this game worldwide and there's all these kind of funny commercials and people want to hang out and eat food. To me, it's low hanging fruit. Like Halloween was, you know,
people that are like, I don't know how to live on mission. I'm like, you batter
up. I
don't
like football. You know,
here's
what?
A home run for you.
And I didn't give a hoot about it for most of my life. And I've gotten into it more later in life. But
throw the biggest party in your town,
man. Got a little J-Lo rocking halftime.
I know. Is there a performance that you look back on and go, I think they were the best?
Hands down.
Which one?
Bruno Mars. Wearing the gold lamé suits and the horns and all that.
Yeah.
I think everybody before and after is still trying to hit that. And then I go way, way back when Aerosmith was on with, who was he on? And I think there was a wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, JT was on. That was powerful. That's when they first started going, hey, wait a minute, we can have more than one act. I think that was the first time I ever remember it, right? And now it's kind of like you got it. Like, who's the lead and then who's their pals?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly
know who J-Lo's pals will be. Are you going to be on?
You know.
Did you get the call?
Yeah, it's me. No, I look back and I think U2 was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
It's right after 9/11. Remember all the people's names scrolling?
That was powerful.
Yeah.
Though their Super Bowl show is exactly like their normal show.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
always
awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do kind of like the unique thing it presents to have to drag all that stuff out like during two commercial breaks or whatever.
From a technical standpoint,
and
you're
blowing
like, this
up
is
stuff.
Amazing.
And then like, what was it last year, the year before? Like, okay, there's 85,000 drones all lit up in like a computer.
Yeah, that was
running
cool.
Them, and it's like writing stuff. And
yeah, it was cool.
It's pretty great. Technology.
But I would say if you're a Christian and you're like, we've never had the neighbors into our house, go buy a couple, 24 packs, grab yourself a nice barbecue and throw some steaks,
Cheetos and Fritos and all that stuff.
Invite everyone over. You get 4 hours, five hours with people.
Or just invite yourself over to one. If you know someone's having one. No one's going to say, nope, we're full. No,
no room at the end.
That. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about a review that we got. This is from, I don't even know how to say it, Stenia, saying this show is challenging in all the right ways. It is theologically deep and sound while being surprisingly practical. I'm inspired all the time. Well, thanks.
Well, that's what we strive for. Thanks.
I wish I was accurate with your name.
Some sort of username. It's probably not his or her real name, but we thank you.
Yeah,
we love you.
Review.
We love it. If whatever device you listen on or like service, if it's iTunes or Stitcher or if it's in Spotify now, we're everywhere. Please subscribe and then give us a little review and rating. It really helps other people as they're scrolling around.
Yep.
And pay it forward. And by forward, I mean to Heath and I.
We don't charge for this.
Hey, and before we move on,
okay,
let me tell you about something. So last week, and I know a whole lot of you were in this with me, we did the Everyday Disciple Challenge.
Yep.
And it was 4 days of teaching on Facebook Live and with homework and all that, and so many good things. Okay. Now, because of that, and people saying, yeah, but I want more, I am doing something we're calling the Everyday Disciple Accelerator.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to invite people to join me as I train and coach them, like for a whole month, through the very first steps that we use. And I've trained thousands of people. And not only trained them, but trained them on how to train others.
Sure.
To start making discipleship part of the normal rhythms of your everyday life with others. Okay.
Okay.
And during that Everyday Disciple Accelerator, I'm going to show you, how we've developed and maintained spiritual and marriage unity for 30 plus years. There'll be some rhythms of that that you're going to soak right into your marriage. Because remember, discipleship starts at home, right?
Yep.
How we made discipleship with our own kids fun and reproducible with others, and became a family that's a blessing to our friends and our neighbors. So this Everyday Disciple Accelerator is a 30-day guided adventure, if you will, into daily discipleship rhythms and marriage unity and family fun and mission. So the truth is, if you want results, you don't need another book or conference to go to this year. Like, you know, like everybody, like, you know, take your church budgets and you sign up and you fly half your staff down to Florida. I don't want to bash on any conference.
Sure.
But, and you hear a bunch of guys doing, you know, sermons that you could get on the internet for free, and there's no practical, there's no work. You don't need that. What you need is action. And so I want to walk with you. So I just want to invite you, please check it out at least, this Everyday Disciple Accelerator. It goes for a month of February.
Okay.
And to check it out and to register, you can go to 123lifeschool.com/everyday.
Awesome.
Every day, one word. Okay?
Cool.
So that's, man, I'm so stoked about that.
Sure.
I am so psyched about that. And it's like, it's very, 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 very affordable. And we are going to like do life for a month. Like
that's
with,
awesome.
With folks, like for 4 weeks, but multiple times, and like talking and phone. I mean, like we are soaking in with folks. So if you really want to do this and everything we talk about on the show, if you go like, oh, I need this and I need to lead my friends and church in this, and this is what our small groups need, please take just a little of that book budget or a little bit of that conference budget and do something where I can really give you tools that you can pass on for the rest of your life.
Right. Awesome, man. Hey, today's topic and discussion was kicked off by one of our longtime listeners, Rob Ford.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob not only has a name that I covet because neither of us lucked out. Anytime I say my name to somebody, it's like, how do you spell that? And Rob Ford.
I love Caesar Kalinowski. Are you kidding?
It's cool. It's just hard to say. I still spell it wrong.
I know.
Rob Ford is just a great name. Yeah. But Rob's a pastor. He's a father. He's an all-around smart guy. And he actually posted this question in the Life School podcast group on Facebook. And what he wrote was, he said, what are the first steps a church that's excited about becoming increasingly missional should take? It seems like a lot of the conversations kind of assume there are all these objections and arguments against living this sort of way that a person has to overcome. But what about those contexts where people are already convinced and just needing direction? What would be those first few steps to steps to start heading in the right direction?
Wow. Great question. And I love it. It's on the positive end of it because we've had to deal with a lot of times like missional when your church isn't into it or when
your elder board
says nay or whatever. So I love it. It's a great question. Thanks, Rob. I think there is a big difference between trying to lead people who are complacent and not excited about the gospel or discipleship. They're just like, you know, I'm doing my 1.7 Sundays a month, national average now for super committed Christians at church, you know. And there's a difference between that and leading those that are embracing this idea that our faith and the gospel can be woven into all life. And so can discipleship and all of it, right? So, but let me explain how this works. I'm going to give people, I wish I had a whiteboard that we could have right now. But let me explain how people move through like new ideas and learning and all this. So we call these the 5 E's, okay? And that's because they all start with E, but here's how it goes. I'll give them to you and then I'll explain them. I'm going to do it real fast, okay? The 5 E's are expose. People need to be exposed to new ideas.
Okay.
Embrace. They need to embrace stuff, you know, like maybe they got exposed, but they embrace it. Engage. That's the third one.
Okay.
Equip. And then the fifth E is extend.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. So here's how it works. When it comes to like missional living and discipleship as a lifestyle, but you know, not like a set of courses or whatever. So like what Rob's saying, hey, like I got folks like that.
Sure.
They've been exposed to it. They were exposed to some of these concepts and ideas, and they've made it to the second E of they've embraced it. They go like, we want to do it.
Hmm.
And now it seems they're at the place of like, okay, how do we engage it?
Yeah.
Because see, some people will be exposed to an idea and they'll go, sounds biblical, sounds right. But they don't really embrace it.
Sure.
They just kind of go, yeah, but I'll just do what we've always done.
Let's study it a bit more.
It ain't working. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Some people will go like, I was exposed to the missional ideas and discipleship as a lifestyle, but and they embrace it.
Hmm.
But they never go about engaging it.
Sure.
They still like, oh, we got to do this. I really love it. You're right. This is what I've always wanted. This is a church we've dreamed about, but they don't engage it. But once people do engage, they generally find pretty quickly they need equipping. They need coaching. They need tools. They need new ways of doing old things because they're not doing the old thing anymore. And then eventually those people that have been exposed, embraced it, they've engaged that lifestyle, and now they're being equipped in it, they will start to extend this or expand it out towards others. Okay. So today, let's assume Rob's folks and anybody listening, your folks have already been exposed to missional thinking and this idea of all of life discipleship, and they've embraced the ideas. And now we want to begin to baby step them towards engaging this lifestyle. Okay?
Okay, so Caesar, what do you think would be your first step right out of the box if you were leading a church or even working at a church and leading folks who have bought into this missional lifestyle but need some direction and easy first steps towards missional living as an actual church?
Okay, good. And I've said this before, like if I was to, you know, show up and I just got hired as the new pastor and people are like, we're hiring you to take us missional, like people, because I've been asked this, like, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd start doing. I would start by having everyone in the church invite one not yet believer or non-Christian couple over for dinner, church-wide, everybody, like this week. Okay. And if you really got a lot of gumption, I'd say, hey, let's going to try this for 4 weeks, you know, maybe make it part of a preaching series or something like that. Right. Okay. And the goal should be just to have one dinner, just have dinner. Tell your folks, don't try and make this a big evangelistic high pressure meal, you know, or get together, close the deal, get them all to church.
Baptize them.
Like I would challenge everybody and I would do it myself. You have to do that. Make sure all the elders are doing it and all the staff are doing it. We're all going to have one person or couple, not yet believer, over for dinner this week. Okay. And we're going to see what God does. There's no pressure because like y'all eat anyway. So you're not asking anybody to do like, no one's got time for that. What?
Yep.
No one's hardly skipping dinner.
Yeah.
So that's off the table. So that this is a rhythm, right, that people can do. And then here's part two of that. Then having lots of stories from folks on stage the next Sunday and every Sunday for those, you know, that week or 4 weeks to celebrate what happened. Okay. And I would say this too. If folks are too afraid, like, oh, I don't know, you know, we've never had anybody over, I don't have any not believing friends, right? Like they won't do it. They can team up with another couple, but then I would say have two dinners that week. So like, you know, you and I are going to do it together for whatever reason, you know, like my house isn't, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then I would say, okay, great. Let's do it together. But you pick somebody in your life. I'll pick somebody in my life. So it'll be, you know,
yeah,
but we're eating 7 nights a week anyway. So it's not like, oh, it's this big add on. Right.
Yeah.
And this would be a challenge. I know. But baby step, like, and so, you know, even if you just did it once and you had it, but make sure you have people then come up and tell the stories. Right. The following week, you know, I would pre-interview two or three folks. And that's key because I used to be head of production for a giant church and it's like, I'm going to have them come up and talk. And they're like, you know, 40 minutes later, you're like,
don't do it.
I said 2 minutes. Like, what happened? You know? So pre-interview them, you know, two or three folks or couples and have them share their stories. Like who did they have over? How did it go? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I had a neighbor over, or I had this one couple that they used to, you know, our kids used to, you know, hang out, but then we don't see them anymore. Whoever it is, like a little of that. And then how'd it go? And what surprised them about their time together? Did God show up in any surprising and cool ways? And there again, maybe I do this once, but I think I would kind of weave it into like a 4 or 6 week series and do it all those weeks.
Sure.
And just make it something different, you know? And don't forget to have people up front share those stories, good, bad, or otherwise, because that makes it real. That would be the very first step I would do.
And the thing you said it in passing, but I think it's so important is when you say like, this is everybody. This isn't, hey, the pastor and the elders get to bypass this and just leave it to the No, everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
Pastors, elders,
absolutely.
Staff.
Absolutely.
Every single person.
Right. Yep.
And it makes a lot of sense. And it seems to engage the whole church without it being this huge, impossible thing to do, right? When you do
you're
this
way. You're not killing anybody's, you know, sacred cows or anything or like whatever. It's just like you're eating anyway.
Yeah.
Here's the challenge. Let's all do it really seriously. Let's do it and see what happens. What, like, here's the thing. The evangelistic fruit, the missional ideas, the all the stuff that people would experience, it would go through the roof in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people, they go their whole life and barely have anybody over, you know, with intention, right? So if imagine a whole church doing it.
Yep.
And then maybe they did it 4 weeks in a row. Oh my gosh, you'd have more people wanting to get into your life and into
Absolutely.
Your church and all, I mean, all of it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, and the other thing I love is like the way you said, just have dinner, just be. Like you're not signing them up for class, you're not doing baptisms at the end of the night. You ask them their story, where they're from, what's their greatest accomplishment, what they do to
I had a guy write in this week, and he was telling me about, you know, just getting started with some missional stuff, and he's been hanging out at this, I can't remember where it was, like somewhere, coffee shop or somewhere. Sure. in the town, and he has two people, and he gave me their names that seem to be leaning into relationship, and he wanted to know what I thought they should do next. And I said, well, why not have them over for, you know, a meal, right? Exactly. Yeah. What I'm saying here. He wrote back, he goes, yeah, I'm thinking about that, but I thought about doing a handwritten note to them, inviting them to hear me preach on Sunday. What do you think of that? And I said, well, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would do what Jesus did. Come hang out. Like, start there before he starts correcting our theology. Right? Yeah. And see, and that kind of goes into this too, like this first step of like, hey, let's all just have meals with no pressure, no closing, no, you know, hardcore evangelism or apologetics going down or whatever.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's easy. It doesn't start off by telling your folks why they suck or what they've been doing wrong or any of that. And remember, they're leaning in, so that's what I'd try.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know? I love that, man. Yeah. And like you said, it's not this huge, impossible thing to do. Everyone can, you know, it's handles for every single
person.
There's
nobody listening today that couldn't do that, even if they didn't plan it out, like this Sunday.
Yeah.
They couldn't just go, hey, you know what? By the way, before we close today, I want to try something. And I'm going to do this. My wife and I are doing it. The elders, I have talked about it. And I want to challenge you all to do this. Have one not yet believer and or couple over for dinner this week.
Yeah.
No agenda. Just do it. And we're all going to talk about it. And I'm going to hit up some of you on the phone this week, call you, get you up on stage. We're going to hear how it went.
Yeah.
And just see what God does with simple, something we're already doing, i.e. eating.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing, it seems to have an effect on like people's hearts as well, right?
Absolutely. It starts to till the ground of your folks' hearts, exposing their fears and preferences and complacency or any fear of man issues, right? And it creates lots of opportunity to address the thing behind the thing in your people's hearts. So when you talk to people, how'd that go? And they're like, well, you know, that's okay. They did it. Go there. Or like, well, we didn't really do it. Well, go there. What was the thing behind the thing that kept them from doing that, right? To really live in it. So this is super key. And this is going to give you a zillions of opportunities to begin to address the thing behind the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. Okay. So what are some other ideas or maybe even next steps that you would suggest here?
Okay. So here's three more ideas you can implement right away. And you don't want to, you know, I don't want to give you 100 and don't try to do too much. But if you take me up on that first one, like, okay, the whole church, we're going to try to have, you know, one meal with a not yet believer this week. And maybe you do it for several. Okay. Next, I would have your folks start to pray. What's next, Lord? And for those people who have, you know, that they've had over for dinner, right? So like, yeah, we had the Smiths over, you know, the Nelsons were over for dinner. We don't know them that well. It went pretty good. It was really fun. They were like, this is so nice of you to do that. Start praying. What's next, Lord? Like literally, like I'm going to sit down as a couple, you know, Tina and I are going to do this. You and Kathy are going to do this. You're going to sit down and go like, hey, we had so-and-so over. We don't know them that well. We could guess.
Yeah.
What's next, Lord? And just like whatever he says, do that, right?
Yep.
And I'll put a link in the show notes on more about how to do what's next, Lord, because that's a big part of our coaching. It's really how to like ask the Spirit of God, like how to disciple people, you know, instead of guessing and being all freaked out, like what if they don't want to and all that. You ask the Spirit of God what's next, it's always perfect.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to get into it much deeper than that, but because we've talked about it, I'll put a link in the show notes, okay?
I think the other thing with that too is that sometimes we feel like we have to have the game plan for people's salvation. And so we don't ever get started because it's such a huge commitment. We don't know where it's going to end. So when you simply do like, what's next, Lord? Like maybe it's take them a bottle of wine and
it might be
invite them over
a rake,
for a TV show.
You know, offer to let their kids come and sit on the couch and do their homework since they're always latchkey. Or
yeah, exactly.
Or it might be call them up and see how that job interview went. Or who knows, right?
Yeah, I love
whatever
that.
Came
simple.
Up at dinner. So dinner, simple. You're already doing it. Have somebody over. And next, just start praying. Okay, Lord, what do you want us to do next with that couple?
Yeah.
So it's not just like, remember when the church did the dinner thing?
That was cool. That was a cool series.
No. Yeah. And people are like, well, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you don't have to. God knows.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
This is what we always say about what next, Lord. You don't need the master plan for those people.
Sure.
You know the master. He has the plan. It'll be perfect.
Works out, yeah.
Okay.
All right, you said you had three things. What's the second one?
Second one, I would say, I would ask all the elders and staff to start having an open table sort of meal once a month. Or you know, for the bold, like you're saying, like if these are people who are really into it and ready, once a week. Okay. So what an open table is it's just like a very simple, simple meal that you hang on the calendar. Like say it's every Thursday, like Tina and I just set ours for Tuesday, you know, and for this year. And it's like, hey, you know what? That's going to be all the time. And so I'm going to invite that same couple over. I'm going to start inviting neighbors over. Anybody I run into, I'm like, I don't know. I say, you know what? We get together and we do spaghetti and then we watch the, you know, this show or whatever, or we do soup and salad and we hang out. We're just getting to know our neighbors better. It's an open table.
Hmm.
Okay. And I would say, let the leaders start to model that.
Yep.
Maybe it's once a month. I'm telling you, the more frequent it is, the more fruit you're going to get from it, like sure. anything. Maybe it's weekly, but they can start to have folks over again. And this is, and these things too, by the way, they're not trying to close the deal or like, so you can get all your neighbors into the church building right away. Right. They're what we call high invitation. Like anybody come, we're just doing it anyway. And some weeks you might have nobody. Some weeks you might have one person or whatever. And they're high invitation and they're low challenge. Yeah. Meaning we're not like, oh, but as long as you're here, let's go ahead and bust out Romans. And do you know the, you
the
know,
Romans Road?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh boy. You know,
don't go there.
Just have a meal and start to build relationships, mm-hmm. right? Just start to build relationships.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to catch on. It always does.
Now you notice how simple these steps are.
Yeah.
Right? These are like super, like there's no reason in other our own hearts that we couldn't do these. And remember,
Absolutely. Like
our listener's question, Rob said, like, what about folks who are leaning in and they want to do this?
Yeah.
Well,
these
then
are
do
easy.
It. These are super easy. Here's a third one.
Okay.
Start to have it a requirement that your staff all spend at least 4 hours each week outside the office.
Hmm.
Out in the community, at a cafe, or some other social setting that's frequented by, here it goes, people.
Wow.
Especially those people you feel that God's called you to disciple and reach with the gospel, either individually or as a church. Okay,
yeah.
So imagine, now some people say, well, we only have two people on staff, okay, or it's just me and I'm an assistant or whatever. But some people listening, like, well, we got a ton of people.
Yeah.
And we're all crazy busy, and it's meeting, meeting, meeting. Listen, if you're serious about this, yep. and people are saying, yeah, we're in, mandate it. 4 hours. I know some churches that do it. It's a day a week. And that's not stay home and party and play. It's like, no, day a week, you still have work to do, but do it out in public.
Yeah, coffee shops.
Do it at a coffee shop. Take a friend out. Take a neighbor to lunch. That's okay. That counts. Because remember, the work of the church is discipleship. It's the mission. It's the gospel in action. And so why not if you're a church that's really trying to move towards this, like a baby step, first step, why not say, you know what? It's good, you know, we're asking everybody to live this way.
Yeah,
we're gonna make space in people's time, and we're actually gonna say to our staff, like, so what'd you do this week?
Yeah,
I've just been so crazy busy. Great, go be crazy busy at the Starbucks.
Yep,
and you come
get back to. And share it,
and just see what God's doing. It's okay, and then talk about that at staff meetings. Remember, the kingdom of God expands at the speed of relationships, and the gospel moves along the lines of trust.
So can you say that one more time? That's really good.
The kingdom of God expands at the speed of relationships. That's how the kingdom expands. And the gospel then moves along the lines of trust that we build in those relationships.
Yeah,
so you got to be out there, and you got to be having meals, and you got to get started. And God's at work. And so he'll be doing things that you were like, yeah, but what about, and how do we get to, and then when do you finally, like,
just don't even stress yet.
Start there. Trust me, you're going to be blown away.
Okay? Yeah. So. Yeah. And these are all things, ideas anyone can get started with right away. So hopefully, Rob, this was an answer to your question. Thank you for putting that on the Facebook group. And
I hope folks will take these super simple steps. And I'm not joking. Like, if I got hired tomorrow and someone said, like, you, full caveat, everybody wants this. That's, you know, that's why we've hired you. This is exactly what I do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's what we already do. You know what I mean? I don't
absolutely.
Have a staff to like send out to cafes and all. But now there again, why is that important? Because that's modeling something.
Yeah.
And that's going to start to trickle into all their other work. And they're going to be talking it up with people. And that's going to fill your preaching and sermons and all. You know,
well, it creates a culture, right? Like you're creating a new standard.
A new culture. Yep. Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's get to the big three, which is the big three takeaways. If nothing else, we want you to walk away with from this week. And you get it as a printable PDF by going to 123lifeschool.com/big. Big three. Again, that's 123lifeschool.com/big3. Caesar, big three for this week.
Okay, here they are, condensed down. Number one, moving your church toward missional living is absolutely possible, and it's what Jesus had in mind for his family all along.
Hmm.
Okay, so know that, all right? It's almost hard to believe that the church is even having this discussion about whether or not we're going to live on mission, you know, make disciples as the central focus of our efforts.
Yeah.
Okay, you can absolutely do this. Hear this, everybody out there who's leading. You can absolutely do this with confidence that missional living is God's will for his people. Okay?
Yep.
It really, really is.
I agree.
Okay.
Number two.
Okay, two, exposing the unbelief that people hang on to that keeps them from truly engaging missional living is key. Even when they say, yeah, you know, I want this. Okay? So it's super key, even after your community embraces the gospel and the idea that discipleship was meant to be lived as a lifestyle.
Mm.
So God's eternal plan was always to fill the world with his glory by disciples of Jesus, making more disciples of Jesus in every household, neighborhood, city, and nation. And the Holy Spirit will guide you and empower you in this. This is like an eternal endeavor.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So you get to do that. And
Amen.
Start by exposing, you know, getting people engaged a little bit so it exposes their own belief in that.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
All right. Third, put the date on your calendar right now that you'll challenge your church to start having one meal each week with a not yet believing friend or couple.
Okay.
Lead by example. Fill your teaching and preaching with new life and stories, you know, from your own experiences as you head into these new missional rhythms. And be honest about where you're at. And invite lots of folks in community to share their experiences too. That's going to give people great hope and, hey, I could do this too.
Sure.
And if you're not sure that your church or community is ready to dive into this missional living, so you're listening to this going, very interesting, but I'm the other guy, you know?
Yep.
Start by assessing where your folks are at in those five E's that we spoke about earlier. Expose, embrace, engage, equip, extend.
Okay.
And again, I just want to I want to extend that invitation again for the Everyday Disciple Accelerator that's starting up February 3rd. Okay.
Okay.
And that's going to be a 30-day guided adventure. Me and Tina together guiding couples, regular people, but leaders as well, for sure, into daily discipleship rhythms. As a family, as a couple, and giving you the tools and steps for like these next steps. But we're going to walk with you. Like, I mean, super deep dive.
Super close, yeah.
Real close. Lots of live video and Voxer chatting. And, like, you'll have full access to us for the month. It'll consume the month for us. But I'm so stoked about it. So please do that. Check it out, if nothing else.
That's at 123lifeschool.com/everyday.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, time is up for today. We want to thank everyone for joining us. Next week, we're going to be talking about accountability relationships in light of the gospel and what that looks like. So
there you go.
Pretty fun, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Love
hey,
it.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on the show, you can visit 123lifeschool.com/podcast.